Good morning on this very warm, kind of muggy summer Sunday. I welcome you to worship today. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Cantor Dave, Deacon Bill, Karen, and I, the whole gang's here, including Toby. So we welcome you to worship. Every Sunday for the last who knows how long, we've been sharing with you. I've been sharing with you things to be thankful for. So I'm going to repeat my messages from last Sunday, the task force for reopening our sanctuary for in-house worship has completed its eighth go-round and has been approved by a congregation council and will be mailed out to each household. There will only be one service at 9:30 with no Holy Communion for the foreseeable future. Information about Sunday school, confirmation classes, potential adult form, all that will be forthcoming. And I know some of you are very anxious, and one person in particular is very angry with me that I have not opened the church. It's not my role to open the church. Some of our Lutheran churches have reopened with limited numbers, yes, and there are those who have no plans to open. So it kind of goes the whole gamut. It's such a fluid situation, and I think we all need to be conscious of that. The Synod office was scheduled to reopen right after Labor Day. That's now been moved to January 2021. We will continue to worship indefinitely by live Zoom. Our attendance actually is higher this summer via live Zoom than it was last summer. So that's really good news. Lots of you have been asking for an outdoor service, so in order to celebrate Holy Communion. So we're going to have a sunset service, Holy Communion, this Wednesday evening, August 26th at 7 o'clock. And right now, the weather is predicted to be pretty nice, so I'm really thrilled about that. We're going to gather in the exit. You can't see what I'm pointing to, I'm sorry. We'll gather in the exit driveway, which will be blocked off to traffic. There'll be music, social distancing, of course, is required. I have my gentle little stick that I'm gonna keep all of us 6 feet apart, my tickle stick with feathers on the end. Masks are required. I will not hold the service if the adults are not wearing a mask. Please bring your own lawn chair. We'll have a couple chairs available if necessary. So I look forward to being with you, even at a distance of 6 feet. And I want to also to encourage you to start turning your videos on the Zoom. Once Pastor Eric gets here in 2 weeks, it's going to be the only way he's going to get to know your faces and see you and with your names under your faces. So it's going to be a great help to Pastor Eric to be able to see that. So I want to encourage you to begin turning your videos on. Now, I know some of you are coming to church in your jammies. You probably don't want to turn it on, but I'm going to encourage you to do that. So, time to have your phones ready so we can share the peace of Christ with one another. Let us begin our prepare our hearts to worship God. And my prayer is, as always, that our time together will be a time of peace and hope, and most importantly, grace for all of you. We begin worship with a brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors, our families, or friends as ourselves. And for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son that we may gladly minister to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Okay, kids, it's time for Toby and me and you to get together. So Toby and I have a riddle for you today, and let's see, it's what do you say I am or who do you say I am? So the riddle goes like this: when I can be filled, I can point the way. When I am empty, nothing moves me. I have two skins, one within and one without. What do you think I am? Okay, adults on Zoom, anybody have any ideas what I am? Well, I'll give you a little hint. I'm a glove. When I am filled, I can point the way. When I am empty, nothing moves me. I have two skins, one outside and one inside. So I'm a glove, and the glove points the way. So in our gospel lesson today, we hear Peter. We're gonna hear stories of Peter this week and next week. This week he's really on target with everything. And Jesus asks him, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Jesus thinks, and he thinks, and he remembers all the things that he's seen Jesus do and know, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. And Peter says, well, you're the Messiah. You're the promised one of God. Peter was pointing to Jesus and saying, you are the promised one of God. So next week, we're going to hear Peter kind of not on top of his best show next week, but today he is, and he's showing us who Jesus is and what Jesus is. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you for Peter, for being able to show us who Jesus is and to tell us who Jesus is. Help us to tell others about Jesus. Help us to point the way. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 through 6. Just as God has called Abraham and Sarah and given them many descendants, so now God offers comfort to Zion. God's deliverance will come soon and will never end. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look at the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation, for a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me.
All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. In response to God's merciful activity, we are to worship by living holistic, God-pleasing lives. Our values and viewpoints are not molded by the time in which we live, but are transformed by the Spirit's renewing work. God's grace empowers different forms of service among Christians, but all forms of ministry function to build up the body of Christ. St. Paul writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. At a climactic point in Jesus' ministry, God reveals to Peter that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds with the promise of a church that will overcome the very gates of Hades. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I just want to back up to the message I said in my announcements about having your videos on Sunday morning. The other thing is to make sure that the name under your picture is only your name, not some made-up name or some kind of statement or anything of that nature. It's the one way Pastor Eric will get to know each one of us. This week's lesson has so many, many jumping off points. So many places that I could preach about, anybody could preach about. Talking about Peter and the rock and on this church, on Peter I will build this church and giving you the keys of the kingdom. But I'm going to go back up more toward the beginning of the text and look at it with all of you. Because for Matthew, as I've mentioned in the children's message, next week we're going to see another side of Peter. But for Matthew, it was important for him to give Peter this particular moment in the sun, so to speak. Matthew, has inherited a very much smaller account of Peter's confession from the Gospel of Mark that leads in turn more quickly into a lengthier discussion of Peter's confession later on. So we know that the Gospels, that each of the Gospels has come from one of the other Gospels, and each of the Gospel writers has added his interpretation and his theology to the particular text. Matthew offers both more description and more praise, and that's something I really, really like in this text. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. For on this rock I will build, and Hades will not prevail. Perhaps because Matthew is grounding future pastoral or priestly or teaching authority or communal identity in and on Peter, the rock in which Jesus will build his church. And so pausing after these verses seems to give Peter his due, in a way that accords with Matthew's construction of the whole scene. But it occurs to me that this pause in the action, so to speak, to recognize Peter's confession might be something that's important for you and me to consider as well. Peter will go on to completely misunderstand what it means for Jesus to be the Messiah. He will later resist Jesus' intention to turn himself over to the authorities, and he will eventually deny and desert his Lord. But for now, on this particular Sunday morning, in just this particular moment, he confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that's something for us to give thanks. We've been really concentrating a lot during this period of time in our life as the church, as a community, as a world, to pause and give thanks. We all know that there's so very much going on in our world right now. So much going on that needs our effort and our passion and our commitment. We are being called in our own individual lives and in our communal lives as the church to confess Christ the suffering Christ who always sided with the vulnerable in both word and deed. At one and the same time, we know that there is so much more to do than we seem to be able to do, and that even our best efforts and our most heartfelt attempts will fall short, not living as deeply or truly into our confession as we would like or as we should, and at times getting confused or scared about what that confession means to say, Jesus is the Messiah. And yet, there are moments when we confess, when we do something right, when we perceive more of God's purpose than previously, when things seem to come together, if only briefly, and when you and I sense God's Spirit at work in us and among us. And at those moments, it makes sense to pause and give thanks. So one of the key phrases in this text, in this very familiar passage around that I came back and back to this week, is around Jesus' additional declaration about Peter's confession. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. God was at work in Peter. Yeah, Peter would screw up mightily, but in this moment, God was truly at work. And God would be at work later. That is always cause for celebration and thanksgiving. So I'd like us all to kind of just look around our communities and see what's going on and see what's going right in spite of all the things that seem to be going wrong. Where is God at work in your place, where you live, in your community? These are things to lift up and to celebrate. I need to tell you that Deacon Bill and I received a really wonderful email this week from Connie from our food pantry. And she included two pictures that I did not realize were on the email right away. And I went back later for some reason, known only to the Spirit, and I found the pictures. And the Knights of Columbus had delivered bag upon bag upon bag upon bag of food for our food pantry. The tables were just chocked full, and there was all over the floor. Our food pantry shelves were pretty bare. Are pretty bare. So this was a gift. This was manna from heaven. This was a gift from other members within our community supporting our food pantry. She sounded kind of excited that they were going to have a lot of work to do this week to get all that food up onto the shelves and ready to share with those who are hungry in our community. What a wonderful thing to celebrate. Because we can't be together, we often don't realize other things that are continuing to go on within our own congregation. Our Eucharistic visitors are calling all of their folks that they visit on a monthly basis and checking in with them weekly almost, just to see how they are doing. Our Stephen ministers are calling their care receivers and checking in and continuing to provide ministry and support and prayer for our care receivers. There is a lot that continues to go on. Sue Kuhn and others from the Owls are constantly calling and checking up on one another, on our older members of the congregation, just to see how they are doing. On Thursdays, we have this fun event called Tea and Talk. And that's exactly what we do. We talk. We don't necessarily drink tea, but we talk. And it provides support and encouragement and nourishment for those who come and sit in front of their computer screen to visit with one another. Deacon Bill and Pastor Eric are getting things ready for back to school, for back to Sunday school. It will be very different. It will be very different, but different doesn't mean bad. Different just means that, different. And it sounds kind of exciting to me. Pastor Eric has some different ideas of how we will be able to do confirmation this year and hopefully some adult forum. Everything will be different. We're kind of working our way into the new normal for whatever this is going to be for the next 6 months to a year. And so grateful for technology that we're able to continue doing our ministry with one another and to be with one another, even if it is just a flat picture on a screen. And hopefully everybody will start getting their pictures up so Pastor Eric can see who you are. Because the days of being able to just walk into the building and sit down and chat are probably not going to be there for a long time to come. So it's our one way for people to get to know one another. These are all marvelous things to be grateful for. Wonderful things to be grateful for. I am so excited about being able to offer Holy Communion this Wednesday. Had shared with the bishop that a really sad piece for me was not celebrating communion through all these months. So she was so happy that that was going to happen on Wednesday. So I invite you to come. We're doing it in the safest possible way ever. 7 o'clock. So gratitude is a really, really powerful thing in our lives. I think gratitude is a very empowering thing in our lives. And this particular text gives us a chance to give thanks that we might be open to what God will do with us and for us and through us next. We truly don't know what's going to happen. We truly don't. Never have we been in this kind of such a very, very fluid position in our lives. I encourage you this week to just sit down with a cup of tea or cup of coffee and look where God is working in your lives and how God is working in your lives. And in your community where you live, in our church community, I encourage you to sense and think about, how do you respond to who do you say that I am? When you say Jesus is the Messiah, what does that mean to you? God truly is. God's Spirit truly is at work in, with, and among us, and through each one of you, touching lives beyond your reckoning. So if you've been wondering about one of your friends, pick up the phone and just call and say, hi, how are you? And they might say, I'm doing okay, I'm hanging in, or they might say, I'm really not doing well at all, and be so grateful for your phone call. Your words, my dear friends, make a huge difference. They make a huge difference. I continue to pray. I have one more Sunday with you, and so my sermon this week's a little bit shorter. So next week you get a really, really, really long one. Not really. I'm teasing. Bill is laughing. He knows me better. He knows me better. So my gratitude today is for all the wonderful, good work that you are doing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
honored to be able to sing to that. That was beautiful, Dave. Thank you. So, confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by isolation, for our first responders, our military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, all essential workers, those working tirelessly serving their neighbors and keeping us safe. And this morning we keep in mind and lift up in prayer the grandmother of Pastor Eric, Edith Trazzo, who has entered into palliative care. We lift up Denise Logan and Oliver and Stephen Ministry ministers and care receivers, the two hurricanes colliding in the Gulf of Mexico, the wildfires in Northern California, and those we now name silently in our hearts or aloud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Lord, our rock, you are our foundation in Jesus Christ, your Son, whom we confess as the living God. Prepare your church for its mission in bearing witness to Christ, both here at home and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call forth praises from the far reaches of the universe to the smallest of creatures. Join our songs to theirs, that a spirit of praise and thanksgiving will arouse us to cherish this wondrous home you give us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord. Direct the leaders of countries, legislators and magistrates, mayors and councils to walk in your ways. Help leaders regard those in need with mercy and fulfill your loving purposes in the governance of peoples. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us, deliver us, and fulfill your purpose for us. According to your steadfast love, grant healing and wholeness to those who are bereaved, in trouble or adversity, or sick and in need of care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call us into this community in which we, though many, are one in Christ. May we recognize in ourselves and in one another the unique gifts you have given us for the building up of the church for the sake of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You are the everlasting rock from which we were hewn, and you restore your people to joy and gladness. In blessed memory and hope, we thank you for the lives of our beloved dead. Bring us with them to our heavenly home. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Got your telephones ready? The peace of Christ be with you always. Peace. Peace, Dave. Peace, Karen. And now join me in the Lord's Prayer using the more familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
And now go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.